Let's pull it together. Am I on, Benj? Okay. We'll start with an item of prayer. Some of you, actually most of you, maybe John and Debbie, probably do not know, but one of our founding elders, a guy by the name of Ken Clark, he has dementia, and he took the vehicle and drove, and they don't know where he is. So, oh, good. So, his wife, Frances, I guess, is, did you talk with her or no? Just learn, no, okay. On Facebook, okay. So, anyway, we just pray for his protection and that she would be able to find him and authorities would be able to find him. So I'll pray for that now. Father, I thank you for Ken Clark and how you used him in this church and its founding. And I just ask that you would protect him and that he would be found and alive and well. And Lord, we know that Francis is distraught at this moment, and I just ask that you would surround her and help her to know your goodness to her. And Lord, we again just thank you that in all of life we can cry out to you and that you are ever-present God who hears our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we are continuing our discussion of the family, and I'm trying to both make the discussion fresh and also practical as well. So, and one of the things that one of the premises as I studied this class that was really helpful to me is when God, that's not good. When God wants to reveal Christ, in the Old Testament, he establishes prophet, priest, and king, and each of these offices imperfectly points to Christ as the perfect prophet, priest, and king, right? We follow that. That's something that's typical for us to understand. Well, I think something similar is going on when it comes to family. Although, in some sense, it points back to God in the Trinity, and then God establishes the human family at creation. But it also points us again to Christ and the relationship of Christ to the church, and really the whole the churches in their relationship to God as a whole. So the family, similar to prophet, priest, and king, actually is designed by God in to reveal God. Okay? That's kind of my premise in all this. So when we talk about throughout history, families have always been broken and messed up. And you can go to Genesis and you read, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their families and Joseph, and it's a mess. It's not perfect. So just as the prophet, priests, and kings weren't perfect, there's been this imperfect illustration of Christ in just practical lives. People fall short. But I also think that what we're experiencing in our day is the redefining and the dissolving of the ideal itself of family. And as that occurs, the various roles within the family, and today we're going to look at father, we are dissolving that role in our society, and in doing that, there's a ton of practical problems that happen because of that, because of the dissolution of the father, but we are also shrouding, I don't know if I can spell that right, shrouding God in darkness again. We're actually, one of the problems of what's happening in our society, and one of the worst things that's going on, is that people are losing who God is. And we can fight the battle on the practical level all we want, but I think if we don't understand that the trying to redefine the family and destroy the basic roles that God has set up in the family, if we don't realize that that is an attack against God himself, we're missing out, okay? We're not really seeing what's happening, okay? So I'm making a distinction between, you know, John, you may be a good father, but you're a very imperfect father, right? And that's okay. We can look at and say, okay, here's the role that John's in, and he's imperfect, and we can kind of look at God as a perfect father and see, well, John's done this good, but he hasn't done this good. I mean, you could evaluate John based on that. But if you dissolve fatherhood or you try to blur it, you know, that role, you are really sending us back into darkness, you know. And this goes back to the Romans 1. You don't care to know the God who is, and so you make God in your own image. It's a type of idolatry that's going on. So, that being said, today we're going to talk about fatherhood. And it really, as I studied this, I found it really enlightening myself. So, let's see here. Historically, God establishes marriage at the very beginning, right? Husband, wife, relationship, right there in the garden, he establishes that. But as history goes forward, marriage is not the first relationship that the Bible seems to care about. And this is, you know this because Abraham could have two wives. Jacob can have two wives. Jacob can have two wives. And the Bible doesn't like say, oh, that's like the worst thing in the world. Like, you know, you would think because of the original definition and because of what Christ teaches, one man, one woman, that's the standard. You would think that there might be more said about Jacob in his problem in his marriage, right? Instead, Jacob, the 12 sons to multiple wives, are the foundation of Israel, right? And you can see how in our world today, this is how things get messed up in our world today, some factions will say, oh, you know, having multiple wives, that's not a big deal. That's the biblical ideal. Jacob did that, you know, and they'll fall down a track that is really wrong. But it just seems like early on in history, God doesn't make that the deciding thing right away, does he? But I'll tell you what he does bring up right away. When God establishes you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but particularly with Moses, and the establishment of his people in the law, one of the first things that he establishes is he is a father to Israel. One of the foundational principles. And I think fatherhood is basic in our understanding of God. That he, from the very beginning, when he starts establishing a people, he declares himself to be their father. Now, he's other things. He's their Lord. You know, he's their shepherd. He's all these other things. But fatherhood's at the very basic. You are my son. He even tells Pharaoh, you got to let my son go so that he can worship me. Right? He's talking about all of Israel. So fatherhood is basic. And this is me musing. God relates to Israel throughout her history like a father to his child. Okay? And I'm not going to go into all the details yet, but when they get to the end of Israel's history during the exile, a lot of those prophets will talk about God having chosen his people and loved his baby, you know, and raised her up and all these kind of things, and she still rebels from him. So you got that kind of mentality. So throughout all of history is this fatherhood of God over his people Israel. And then with Christ, you have a perfect father-son relationship. And, you know, Jesus will talk about the Father as my Father, personally, and that makes Israel all mad. But then if you go to then the New Testament, the fatherhood of God over true believers is central. Okay, so I'm not telling you anything that you don't probably already know, but as I thought, you know, I'm going to search around on my shelves for books telling me about God as Father. What does it mean that he's Father? How does that affect? Almost every systematic theology I found had maybe a half a page on the fatherhood of God. Or if they're talking about the fatherhood of God, they're only talking about the fatherhood of God in terms of the Trinity, right? And trying to explain the Trinity situation. So then I thought, well, surely I'll go to J.I. Packer, knowing God, right? I mean, this is the standard of in our day. And it's an excellent book. I remember being blessed by this. The study of God, the only true God, God incarnate. He's unchanging. He's majestic. He's wise. He's loving. He's gracious. He's the judge. Goodness, severity, jealous, the gospel, adequacy of God. Nothing about fatherhood. Okay? Now, I'm not critiquing J.I. Packer at all. That's not the point of this. I just started thinking to myself, wow, do we really dwell upon God as Father? And I actually think, well, I can remember as a, you know, I study the Bible as my job, as my life, especially when I had younger kids and I'm raising kids and I'm studying the scripture, I can recall often going, what does this reveal to me about the way that God relates to me as a father, and thinking I should try to emulate God as Father in the way that I relate to my children, right? And you know how sometimes in the Bible you think the Old Testament harsh, God's harsh, New Testament God's loving. I'm thinking you go to the Old Testament and you actually start studying the Old Testament, and you'll see there's moments where God seems to be very harsh, and then you'll see times when he seems to be incredibly gracious, and you get confused. But you know what? If you would do a span of my parenting of my kids, okay? And if you just took one moment here, you might think, "Oh man, Mike's pretty serious." Another moment here, you might say, "Oh, he's being pretty, you know, patient and kind in that situation, you know. And if you just took the situations from afar, you might think there was no consistency. But what's actually happening? Well, in a very, very imperfect way, I'm trying to apply principles correctly with my children, right? If there's open rebellion and they just say, Mom, no, I'm not going to do this, then I might be kind of harsh to them. I might say, no, you got to respect your mom. Another case, they might be childish, you know, and I need to be patient, you know. So there's this sense of parenting, and I think we've somewhat lost that as we've studied Scripture. We haven't seen God as a personal fatherhood and how he relates to his people and knowing how to do that with wisdom. And so, anyway, it just opened up a lot of thinking in my mind and wanting to try to get at what is fatherhood and how are we going to see God through this one role that he has. So I want you to now talk with me, not necessarily just looking at Scripture or giving me passages right now, but I want you to try to lay out for me what is the ideal of the fatherhood role or the qualities of fatherhood. Like what makes the good father? And I just want you to, you know, just go off the top of your head. It doesn't matter if there's things that are not quite right or we have to balance them or whatever. I just want to hear what you have to say. Okay, so I'm going to say presence, right? That you have to be there. You have to be maybe engaged. Is that a good, putting that in my own word? Okay, so present and engaged. Debbie. Okay. Leader. That would be model. But also just actually leading. We'll call it a... guide. Okay, so now, okay, he is also teacher. And again, leader, you mentioned spiritual, not just physical, but, okay, what else? Stability, okay. I like that. And then someone just said provider. Yeah, provider. I will tell you that depending on how far we get today, next week or next lesson will be on motherhood. So we're going to go through that because I think that's an important role. And I think motherhood actually reveals God as well. We'll nuance that. But okay, so provider, protector. Okay, so protector. So there's dependable or safe. Okay, Larry. So I'm going to put lifelong learner, okay, lifelong learner, and, but you're saying, I'm trying to get this right, so you're either just learning or the father's learning the child. Okay, I got you, so, right, so I'm going to put this right, wise and understanding. So like you're specific in how you relate to people. Good. Okay, so I'll just put a new category. Right, so this has something to do with that safe place, but someone that can be trusted, right? Okay, so 9, selfless serving. Okay, good. Okay, so teacher, trainer, spoken as a true educator, understanding that teacher, trainer, and educator are kind of nuanced differently, but they're all kind of... So humbleness, if you blow up, you know, you do something wrong, admitting that, that's humility. But even in Christ, his humility is that his perfection doesn't keep him from relating to and wanting to be with you who are not perfect. So that's a humble attitude too, right? So both for the fallen, admitting, and then also even when you do something better, not thinking you're just above somebody else, right? But being with them, okay? 1 second, Peter. Jim? Okay, so but there's a model. We got that. Good. Kate? Okay, so yeah, that's a good one. I like that. Tell you what, I'll just flip this over. What's that? Okay. Bill, I got to be quick here. Okay, so just kind of a general sense, a true lover, which I think is good. Yep. Okay, Peter. Patience. Good. All right. Okay, steward's good, but like, what do you, give me a detail of that. Like, what are you thinking? Okay, so kind of the wisdom and overseer. Yeah, like a manager. That might be a good, yeah. That's what you mean by steward. Yep. Okay. Did you guys... Brad, did you know? How we doing? We getting close to the end? Kyle, you think anything here? Yeah, providers up there. Yeah, I'm sorry, I flipped it over, but we'll go back and look at him. Mike? Okay, so, good. Spoken as ex-military. No, it's good, though. I mean, there's good. I mean, He's authority, right? I mean, he is the one that has to make judgments. And this is maybe one of the most difficult one as a father, because it's God does this impartially. He does it compassionately. All these kind of things. But he does it perfectly. We, on the other hand, have all kinds of our own personal feelings that get in the way. So trying to be a good judge is really hard to be a good judge in situations. Right. Yeah, they'll attack that. That's exactly right. In our particular world, you know, yeah, Brad? Yeah, so that comes back with, yeah, well, I'll make it a separate case here. Discipline. Disciplining or disciplinarian. Yeah, that's very good. Yes. Yeah, I think stable, dependable, we got that. So somebody back here in the back? I think faithful is good. Faithful, okay. Okay, so I had 20 things down here. You guys did close. You got 18. So, and I think we did pretty much I have accepts responsibility. I have strong, right? I think part of fatherhood is strong. Can you see how God reveals himself as strong in the Bible? I have good. Now, we didn't say that in any of this, but I think a father is to be good. In our fallen context, that would mean that you fight against your sin relentlessly. So, yeah, I'm not perfectly good. but when I'm not good, I try to humbly repent of that, and I strive every day to be good. I mean, that's what you should be doing. And along those lines, a father has to have self-control. Self-control. I wrote down loving. I wrote down, you guys said this is connected to loving, but I put deep compassion for those under his care. If there's anything that I have, if there's anything that Scripture has repeatedly shown me the way that God treats his children, it is with deep compassion, even in their struggles with sin. Like he is, it's like it breaks his heart. And at the same time, he can still judge and be, you know, whatever. I mean, he does all those things. All right, protecting, disciplining, unselfish, sacrificial. I think that we didn't really mention sacrificial, but I think that that's a big one. To be a good leader and to be a serving leader, you have to sacrifice of yourself. I have faithful, dependable, available, wisdom, teachable, a good listener. I mean, think of all the times that God says in Scripture, talk to me. I am your father. I want you to talk with me. Do you ever think, oh, you know what? I think God's probably too busy for me today. No, he is ready to listen to your prayer. He's more ready to listen to it than you're ready to give it. So he's a listener. He's humble, admitting wrongs, initiator. That's part of being a leader, but I had initiator down there. Facing fears and conquering enemies. I think that's a biggie. I know as a man and as a dad, I'm thankful for the way that both my mom and my dad early on taught me to face fears, to not run from them, but to face them, I think is a good thing. Hardworking. I think a father should be hardworking. Here's one nobody even brought up. A good father should be romantic to the mother of their children. What'd you say? So in other words, Tara and Michael and Jenny, for me to be a good father to them, I need to be romantic to Robin. But we all agree that I should be a romantic to Robin, but that we don't all agree or see the connection that that's actually a part of fatherhood. That's absolutely right. Yes. Okay. All right. So you can write these down. You can. It's interesting. We didn't have to. I know that you're immersed with Scripture and different things, but we didn't have to find a verse for each of these. You just basically knew them. Where did you get these ideas from? Okay, maybe you got it from God and how he relates to us. Did you say from your heavenly father or from your father? Okay, see, you just saw it in someone that was close to you, your own dad. Okay, where do you guys get these from? How do we instinctively? How do we instinctively know the idea? Because I agree. I think that there's a certain almost an innate understanding. Okay, so the being in his image, good. Okay, all right. I think you're following the same path as I did. But you know, you can get far awry from this, right? You can have the conscience be seared, and people have this completely a loving father, but not a judging father. Like, you can get really messed up. You know, we were able to put all these things in here, I think, are really consistent with Scripture and stuff. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty well, yes. Except for one thing, spiritual leader. There's one thing I think about in media. They basically, you can go back as far as you want. You will not find, even in Little House in the Prairie, you will not find the church in relationship with God as most central. You know, Little House does pretty well. The church is still there. But to have it being spiritual leader is not central to Hollywood. Peripheral. Yeah. 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 Okay, so this is just my... go ahead. Yes, we do. Bad experience. Good. Okay. So first thing I'm going to do, and these are just my musing on this, but I think we have some sense of what it means to be good. Okay. That, I think, is what's more innate within us. We can acknowledge when, you know, a father's harsh and brutal or something. You know, we can kind of see goodness, and then we can put it into the role. And I think when you combine goodness with role, I think that's when you start seeing these categories. So, you know, we said leader. We said, well, that's a role thing. That's not necessarily a good thing. But if you're going to combine goodness with the role, that's, you know, that's what we're doing. I would say the same thing with being a good son or daughter. You're going to figure out, okay, what's good, and then you're going to apply it to the role in which you're placed. Okay, so here's what I'm trying to get at. God is relational. And just as we would say within the Trinity, there is one God in being. But then you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. These persons within the Trinity relate to each other according to specific roles. They're all good, right? But they have to be fit into a role. And I think that's part of what's being eroded in our society. We are blurring and getting rid of role. So you'll find in even non-Christian homes, there's a sense of maybe trying to be good. It might not be religious good or whatever, but it's good. But the role is being erased in that, okay? Okay, so I think then when you try to combine those two together, You have the innate understanding because of remnants of being made in the image of God. You have personal experience, as Kate said, that helps us. But then I think thirdly is instruction. Don't underestimate that you have been instructed in the Word of God over many years, many of you, okay? So all three of those are playing a role in your answers to me today. Okay, so when we look at the role of father, all right, when we look at the role of father, and I liked, I think it was Lori said different from mother, right? When we look at the role of father, what is kind of like specific roles? And usually we see things like protector, provider. You know, you see a couple of those main roles that are thrown out a lot. But there's a specific role as father. Now, what I want to start with, rather than the specific roles, I want to just start out with that the particular role of father is important or valuable. Okay? The particular role of a father is important or valuable. Just turn to Exodus 20, verse 12. Exodus 20, verse 12. One of the first commands, actually probably the first command that God gives in the second table of the Ten Commandments, relates to father and mother. So read that for me, John. Yep. We all know it, so. Okay, now, like I said, next lesson we'll deal with mother, so I don't want to in any sense minimize or diminish the honor that needs to be given to both mother and father, right? That's key. But we'll deal with motherhood next lesson. But what does it mean to honor? I want you to really get down to the central. Let's start with Marcus on this one. He's a young man. Here you are, Marcus. What does it mean to honor your mom?
One over you and do as you would want to be
No, you're good, and I will say to Marcus, you're right on respect. So we're gonna be on that. So don't. I just want to help you understand bigger. So I'll get to you, Lori. So the word kabod or kabed, depending on verb or noun, in Hebrew, that's the word for honor. And does anybody have any sense of or heard that before? What kabod is, Michael? Weighty. Yes, it's weighty. It's heavy, and it's not just light in ephemeral, like it's not important, it's like a wisp of wind. No, it's something, it's like, it has importance, and it has value. Okay, so that's, in my opinion, at the very core of being able to honor someone is recognizing the importance and value of the role, okay? That I think is important. That you, if you don't see father as important and valuable and weighty, there's no way you can honor. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Lori. Now, why would God say father and mother, but why would God say that they have value independent of how good they are? Why would he be at the very foundation? It has something to do with recognition of there's this authority and how it establishes in society. I've heard this many times where like, Well, if you don't learn respect for authority in the home, then you won't respect it in the rest of life and all these other places. And I think on a practical level, that's really true. But I think there's something far more theological going on here. Why does God say, when it comes to a father and a mother, you need to honor? Jim, you want to try to? Yes. So two aspects of that. One is by you learning to actually give honor to an earthly father, you are learning what it means to honor your heavenly father. And I would even take it another step too, in that you are in recognizing this role, this role, however imperfect in this life, but the role between a father and son or daughter, recognizing this role, that your heavenly father is being revealed to you. You relate to God as father. I mean, that's fundamental in the Lord's Prayer, right? They teach us to pray, our Father, right off the bat. You want to relate to God correctly? Relate to him as your father. Okay? And if you don't know how to honor and respect and esteem one in the position of father, how are you going to be able to do that in your relationship with God? Right? Now, I would tell you that you do not have to be in a particular relationship here for you to be able to recognize this. As was already said, you might have your earthly fathers dead. They might be gone, out of the picture. Right? Isn't the church supposed to be a place where people of all different walks of life are a part of it? Not just those who have perfect, nice, intact families, leave it to Beaver family, right? But we have all these different situations. So if you come into the church, God says, I will take the I just read it the other day. I will take the solitude. Yeah, and set them in a home. Right? Well, why would he do that? Because he's revealing himself as father. You can't, and in some sense, and I don't know where I have these in my notes, but in some sense, part of what God says is that this father is not ultimate anyway. In fact, if you do try to make that father ultimate, you run into big problems. Jesus says things like, if you don't love me, meaning me, God, you know, if you don't love me more than your father, mother, husband, wife, you don't even have any part of me. Right? So this is not ultimate. We're being trained to live in a relationship with God as our father. Okay. You don't have to have a perfect situation here in order to honor father and mother. You don't have to have that. This is back to what I'm trying to get at. I'm not just trying to establish perfect little families in the church so that everybody's perfect in the church. We hope to have families that are broken in the church. And I know there are. I'm ministering to several people that I know are in very broken homes. And so that's a part of, that's okay. But we don't, from that, cease to honor the Father. Right? That is basic. Because it's honoring that role that we come to understand who God is. And we begin to relate to God as our father and mother, or as our father, excuse me. Now, trying to remember my next thought here. I had it and I've lost it already. This is it. Very important. Very important. So, you know, you have that list of 18 or 20 different things of the ideal as father. So then, Kyle, we'll pick on Tyler. So Tyler, you know, he didn't grow up in a good family. Things are not that good. He, you know, through God's grace, got married to a nice lady, and he's got kids, and he finds himself as a father. And then he becomes a Christian, and he comes into the church. He doesn't know anything about being a father. And he sees that list, and he just thinks, I am terrible, right? I am nothing. So what I want you to get is that it's not so much important, if this is Tyler's growth in becoming a good father, it's not so much important that he's here or here. It's that he recognizes that there is an ideal, right? And he's asking God for grace to move along the path to that ideal. So that it's not like only good fathers can be Christians, you know, or you become a Christian, you better be a perfect father. No, that's not the way it works. But I do think it's really important that as a part of his Christianity, as a part of his sanctification, he's not just growing as a sanctification. He's not just growing as an isolated molecule going through space and growing as a person. He's growing as a father. Because that's one of the roles that God has put him in. And so he's trying part of his, if he refuses to be a good father, he's really refusing to be a good Christian. So there ought to be this attempt by the grace of God to be striving towards the ideal and growing as a parent. I hope that I'm a better father today than I was when my kids were first born. Right? You see that? So I want to avoid the two problems. The one is a Christian comes in, only these perfect fathers can be in that church. No. We're all fallen. We're all in some ways not who we're supposed to be. At the same time, we don't want to be a church that erases the ideal of what it means to be a father. It needs to be there. And that's a part of our sanctification. Just like if you're in a role of a mother, being a mother is a part of your sanctification. If you're a kid, being a child is a part of your sanctification. You're trying in the role that God has placed you to learn what sanctification is for that role. Questions on that or comments? Right, so I put Kyle up there. There you go, Kyle. Usually I demean Kyle, so I'm putting him up high now. So Kyle, in his interaction with Tyler, Kyle should not be like, man, Tyler, what is your problem? You know, he should be coming down and meeting him and encouraging him where he is. At the same time, Tyler shouldn't think, man, I don't need to learn from anybody else. He should look at Kyle and say, man, what can I learn from Kyle? Recognizing that you're not going to be here in one step. Right? But there, that's the roles of the relationship. That's how you have discipleship in the church. That's how you interact with people and, you know, the older actually helping the younger. Not to lord it over them and say, why aren't you here yet? Even recognizing that in some ways, Tyler may be here and Kyle may be here. So if I were Kyle and I'm interacting with Tyler, I may try to find some way in which Tyler is actually better than I am as a parent and encouraging him in that. You know, you do this really well, you know, and encourage that. That's a part of that humility in the process. And as people in our church, we should not think that everybody's the same or there's not really any way to become a better father. No, that is true, but we should do it with humility. We should do it with teachability and lowliness and compassion and those sorts of things. That's what we're dealing or striving for as the ideal. Other comments? Yes, Lee. I do the same thing. I just did it a minute ago. That's exactly right. Yep. Good. That's wonderful. And Hope? It is freeing. And I think I'll get you, Christian. I think we do that. I've seen that in church, and I've seen people do this. What I think is a danger to me in our society is that the very ideal is being eroded. And then it doesn't allow for the young people to actually grow into the ideal, right? It's just been eroded. Go ahead, Christian. Thank you. That's really helpful application of this. Go ahead, Frank. Can we say, get rid of Facebook accusations and distance, judging from a distance things, right? I mean, get to know the person and actually understand what's going on in their life before you start making broad judgments against that person, right? I mean, if you hit the nail on the head when you're confronting someone, and sometimes you do have to confront sin, if you hit the nail on the head and they know that you understand really what's going on, they're much better able to accept that rebuke than if you just kind of throw it out there showing that you haven't really understood the situation or what's going on. So I just think we have to be very careful with that in our world today. So one thing that Christ always did and the Father does is he always knows exactly what's going on in the situation. You know, you always hear the story of the guy that's like picking up sticks and on the Sabbath, and God says, just stone him, you know. And you think, oh, that's harsh, you know. Well, maybe we should step back and say, I think God probably knows exactly the heart of that guy. And he was living in open and direct rebellion. And God says, you want to do that? You're going to be punished. So God knows exactly what he's doing. He's not just someone that was confused and or his you know, wife or his aging mother was needed some warmth and he had forgotten it. It's someone that was that obviously was in direct disobedience. And God says, okay, if we would start thinking of God as someone who does understand perfectly the heart, it would help us. We understand that with Christ, right? I mean, Christ, he looks at people and says, hey, you're a son of the devil. You know, but he knows what's going on in their hearts before he says those things. So, okay, turn to Proverbs 3. Oh, gosh, it's time. Sorry, we're going to stop right here. I didn't realize the time has got behind me. I'm having such fun with you guys. So we will not deal with motherhood quite yet. We'll deal with some more stuff with fatherhood, and we'll see. But we'll either get to motherhood halfway through next class or in the following class. So thank you, guys. Father, thank you so much for being our Father. Thank you for being the one who truly knows us, who is good, who is faithful, who is stable, who interacts with us as a Father perfectly. Lord, help us to know you as our Father. And then in turn, if God happens to place us in the role of a father, help us to be good fathers. And Father, if we're not in that role, help us to still honor fatherhood. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for your wonderful participation. Oh, it's good to be back.
Glad you had a good trip up to Boone.
Yeah, up in West Jefferson, yeah. It's another 45 minutes from Boone. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's up in the... It's